How many of you brought your Bibles or have it on your phone? However, if you want to follow me reading today, let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Let's see where we're going to begin reading. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about some here today is the source of all your struggles, spiritually speaking. How does that sound? The source of many of your struggles. Is that a little bit better? How many of you would say here today that the source of all your struggles is the devil or a devil? He got a name. They call him the Great Red Dragon, the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. I mean, you think that devil is a source of all your struggles? Yeah? He plays a part in it, but there's something even greater than that. You want to know what that is? Death. Say death. And it's interesting because you can look around the room when you use that word death, you know people are thinking differently about what death is. Now let me take it a little bit farther. The carnal mind. We're going to read in Romans the 8th chapter around the 5th and 6th verse that to be carnally minded is death. And the Bible talks about different deaths. There's the dead in Christ. There's to be dead in your sins and trespasses. There's the life that's in Christ Jesus that keeps us free from sin and death. But what we're going to talk about here today is specifically the source of your struggles, that being the carnal mind. How long do you have to be in the carnal mind? Or how long does the carnal mind have to be with you? Let's say it that way first. Because we're going to define the carnal mind even greater. But when you're looking scripturally, and Paul does divide it in Romans 8th chapter, he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you have two mindsets right there, and that's what I'm going to you to look at when we're talking about death specifically. It's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. So let me ask my question again. How long do you have to deal with the carnal mind? As long as you are in the flesh. Okay? When you're no longer in the flesh, you don't have to deal with the carnal mind anymore. You say, so then when I die? Well, in that definition, you're saying your last breath here. But we're going to read here that you can actually walk in the spirit and be free from the carnal mind before you breathe your last breath here. And that's really how it's supposed to work. That's the best way to go. I don't know, what do you think sounds better, to be carnally minded as death or to be spiritually minded as life and peace? You want some life and peace, you want some death, which one? You know, and then we got outside of the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, death and life, you have a mindset here in this earth that is subject to both of those mindsets in the spirit, being the carnal mind or the spiritual mind. But we're going to address something really cool here today in Hebrews, the second chapter and the 14th verse. How much power do you think that devil actually has? Does he have as much as God, or does he only get what God gives him? What do you think? Now, interesting enough, when I say that the source of all your struggles is the carnal mind, which is death, why would I say that when the devil appears to have so much power in the scriptures and in people's lives? One specific thing. God doesn't have a problem with the devil. He can deal with Satan. He has, and he will continue. But when you're talking about your mind and the way you think, there is something involved in that that can actually tie the hands of God. You go, what do you mean? God can do anything. That's not true. God cannot lie. God knows everything. That's not true. He said, another God, I know not. You see what we're talking about? What would keep God? But Jennifer, you and I were talking about this. You said, why don't God just send you elders to do these certain things and that? A very big word, four-letter word. Not that one. W-I-L-L. Mr. Gowett nailed it. Your will. God is a gentleman. He will not go against your will. This is why the source of God being in your life is you must believe. You got to believe. Without believing, you're telling God either, I don't believe, I don't understand, I don't get it, or I just don't want it. Make sense? Let's look at this. Let's see how powerful this devil really is. Now in Hebrews, the second chapter in the 14th verse, talking about Jesus being our high priest, he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Did you read that right there? Does that say that the devil has the power of death? It says it, but do you want to understand it? Because our first thought in a knowledge is, well, it says he has the power of death. That means that he could kill anybody he wants to whenever he wants to. That's not true, is it? Or all God's people would be dead already. Right? But a person could read it that way, couldn't they? He has the power of death. And we're going to go read it verbatim, but get this in your mind right now. To be carnally minded is death. The devil has power, the power of the carnal mind. What you're going to see here, there's a division, there's a separation between flesh and blood, bone and flesh. All of these are different. But there's a difference between flesh and the carnal mind. As a matter of fact, it says, they that are carnally minded do mind the things of the flesh. So when you're carnally minded, what are you thinking about? Flesh, fleshly things, earthly things. When we look at the resurrection chapter, God's story is told through two Adams, an earthly Adam and a heavenly Adam. An Adam that we read about in the book of Genesis, and the last Adam, being the Lord from heaven, is a quickening spirit. The first Adam introduced the whole world to sin. By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. But you know what the last Adam did, the quickening spirit? It said, by his obedience shall many be made righteous. So here, let's read 15. It said that Jesus might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How many of you are afraid of death? We'll say, well, which one? You've named like five of them out there. Let's put it this way. How many of you are afraid to die here? As Brian Heron, as Dathan Rizavos, is there an element of fear? Because I've had people tell me before, and Cindy shaking her head, I don't fear death whatsoever. Well, Trina Alanis used to tell us, I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to go. And she's still around. Jennifer, you remember that little exercise I did with you? You want to know how to bring a tear to this little lady's eye? And we're in public. I think we're at Starbucks. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't do anything to her. We're serious. Because Jennifer, she can look at you, Sophie. I'm sure you've seen this many times. Not even have an expression on her face and tears just run down her face. Not even change the look on her face and just water. Just start coming out. But I asked her, Zach, this is what I asked her. I put her on the spot, a good one. I said, what if the Lord came to you right now in this meeting? We're sitting here talking. We're at Visalia, California, Starbucks. And I said, and he told you that you could go to heaven tonight. Now, you're going to leave your family behind. You're going to leave this husband, Tim. You're going to leave three children. I said, would you go tonight? Give her that microphone. Where is that thing? We're going to get her teared up here in a second. I'm already like, now, see, this is where honesty comes into play. And it's just between you and God. I'm not calling anybody else out here. I know she's going to be okay with this. We're using this for an example. Do you remember that day?
I do.
Let's hear it.
I do remember. Especially at that time, that would have been so hard to make that decision. I could not have said, I will leave my family right now.
Isn't that interesting? You can go to heaven. Isn't that why we're all here? It's what we're looking for. It's what we're ready to go. But in all reality, I totally understand what you're talking about. She's like, wait a minute. Who'll take care of my kids? Who'll take care of my daughter? My two sons? My husband? Oh, that's easy. She will take care of your children. The one that's taking care of your husband. And you're like, whoa, no, that's even worse. I don't want no part of that. My husband gonna get another wife? And my kid's gonna call her mother? Nah, I'm good. You go ahead. I'm gonna take another trade. Right, Jen? But I think if you are honest at all in your heart, there's an element of fear in every single one of us. And Cindy said, no, so God bless you. That's awesome. About the unknown. Well, what happens when you die? I've had the Lord show me that specifically. And I will not speak it publicly. If you ever get the privilege and the honor of us sitting down and talking about it together, I might share it with you. But it's not for everybody at this time. I got a phone call yesterday. My friend, I'll call him a young man. I think he's either my age or a little bit, 1 year younger. He calls me and he's in past ER. What's the next thing? Critical care? Julie, what's the worst place to be? Huh? Hospice. The one below that? Thank you, Cindy. ICU. Okay? You're in critical condition. He's there in renal failure, his heart's failing, his kidneys are failing. He doesn't qualify for any transplants or anything like that. And because of the renal failure, Julie, he's drowning all the time. He can't breathe. He's just suffocating. And he called me because he said, I got to reach out to my spiritual leaders. I need to ask you a question. He said, I really want to make it to my birthday, Mikey said, in September, but I don't think I'm going to. He said, so here's my question to you. I'm dying, and I'm okay with it. I'm ready to go be with the Lord. You know, I've got things wrapped up pretty good. He said, but I'm kind of suffering. He said, I can't breathe and stuff. He said, I want to know if you'll give me the okay to just let me kill myself. No, I'm serious. He's got the gun. He's had it. He's thought about it numerous times. He's ready to put that thing in his mouth and blow his brains out. I told Jim, I said, let's pray for this young man. We were all out here yesterday. He called me. Oklahoma, in the hospital right now. And he said, can I do that? And I told Jim, and Jim said, what about hospice? Wouldn't that be better? When we're talking about will, you got to know that God knows the difference in what you're doing and why you're doing it. Huh? Could somebody, and I'm going to get all kinds of flack about this, could somebody take their own life and it not be sin? Oh, that's good. I heard a story one time, Cindy, of a lady. She was like in Vietnam or some third world country. She had like 10 children, Dathan. Her husband dies. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to feed the kids. She doesn't know what she's going to do to save her family. She starts the oldest profession in the world. I think you guys all know what I'm talking about. To feed her family. How does God look at that? The will. Your intent. Your intent is why you do what you do. Is she doing something she does not want to do with her body to save her children? One person, I'm just going to speak plainly, said she's a whore. She's going to die and go to hell. Well, I'm glad you're not. I'm glad people don't judge us at the end of this life. I am so happy, Tristan, that we serve a merciful and a faithful and a kind God. Listen to me, because nobody else can do this. Nobody else, no other entity, no other spirit, nobody else can do this. He can see your intent. He can see why you do what you do. Sometimes we don't even know why we do the things that we do. Do we? You ever done something and look back at it and go, why the heck did I do that? That was so dumb. Why did I do that? It's only God Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit and marrow and joints, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Only God can do that. Only God can look, see, I see that thought, I see that intent, I can judge it correctly. So, not going to get a whole lot into judgment here today, but sometimes maybe we better be a little bit more kind to one another, a little bit more merciful to one another. We don't know what one person's going through. The other thing, we don't always know what they're going through, but we don't know why they're going through it. So you will always err on the side of caution and keep God on your side by being more kind and more merciful and not trying to bring that gavel down and destroy everybody that comes into your presence. Make sense to you? Now let's get into this. The devil here, it said in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So when we say, you know, like I initiated to you, your first thought is, well, he can kill anybody anytime he wants. Well, no, that's not true. You know, God let him touch Job and do the things he did, took all his family, took all his riches, all those things, but he said, save his life. So he don't have the power God has, does he? But if you look at it like this, he has the power of death, he has the power of the carnal mind. As long as you're in the carnal mind, as long as you're in the flesh, you have the carnal mind present. But do I have to follow the carnal mind? Because the carnal mind, honestly, is the source of all your struggles. It's the mind that works in the flesh that he has power over. So if you're in the carnal mind and the devil has the power of death, and to be carnally minded is death, are you in an arena where he's got more power than you do? Are you in a place in your mind and your heart where the devil has more power than you do? The answer is absolutely yes. Does it have to stay that way? Does it have to be that way? Listen to me very closely, okay? Every single individual that's going to experience the salvation of the Lord is going to experience the carnal mind. It's going to happen. You're going to have thoughts like, well, what constitutes the carnal mind? Fear? Doubt? Unbelief? Well, heck, there's 17 works of the flesh that Paul labels out, remember? And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adulteries, fornication, lasciviousness. Walker, you find that. We'll read all 17 of them. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, they're all there in the flesh. So when we're talking about God and we're talking about the Bible, what was man's introduction to death? Wasn't it Adam? Wasn't it the commandment? And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. This is Genesis 2:26. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every garden, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely go into the carnal mind. Follow me, okay? It says death, but if to be carnally minded is death, what was God warning Adam about, Walker? He said, if you listen to the serpent and you be disobedient to what I have to say, you're going to end up in the carnal mind. Well, that don't sound good, does it, buddy? You want to be in the spiritual mind, don't you, Hunter? So when God said you could freely eat and there were trees there called trees of life, was he giving him the opportunity to choose between being spiritually minded and carnally minded? Do you know here today, every single day of your life, every time you breathe a breath, God is giving you the opportunity to choose what mind you're going to be in? The carnal mind or the spiritual mind? What's the prerequisite for walking in the Spirit? Come on. I already said it. I've taught you 1,000 times. What's the prerequisite for walking in the Spirit? We have to have Jesus, right? But don't you have to believe? Don't we have to believe in Jesus? Has anybody in here ever struggled and wondered, why am I even struggling? You're getting your prayer answered here today. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. You know, it's funny because if you go to Hollywood or you look at movies and like Amityville Horror, where do they put the devil? Where do they put spirits? Hey, let's cover, give me back to the Amityville Horror thing. Let's cover something real quick, okay? What is a devil? Now, there's the devil. The word devil translates into slander. He slanders. He's also called Satan. Satan means accuser. So you got slander, you got the accuser. The Bible talks about devils being, isn't a devil a spirit? It's a spirit. The Bible says there's unclean spirits, there's familiar spirits. What makes up a spirit? I was on vacation in Maui, Hawaii, Mike, and I walked out of my room, went to the beachfront. I was sitting down and just praying, seeking God, enjoying it. It's beautiful, you know. I'm on vacation. And man, immediately I went into the spirit, and a voice thundered from heaven. I mean, I'm sitting there. Nobody else is hearing this stuff. It's just me sitting along the shore of the ocean. And a thundering voice said, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And I went into an experience. I'm not going to share all of it today. I have before. But in that, God showed me what a spirit was. You know what it is? In simplicity. Because, I mean, if you look at Hollywood, it inhabits Amityville, a house. You know, what was her name? Linda Blair's head spins a couple times on her shoulders there. That's the devil. That's what he can do. But you know, in the Bible, in God, in the truth, and this is what God showed me, a devil is a thought and intent that needs a body. It's a thought and an intent. And it depends on if we're talking about evil angels or good angels, spirits. Angels are spirits. Spirits are angels. A spirit needs a body to inhabit, to be able to work the manifestations of the flesh, or work even the manifestations of evil. How about if I say it that way? Do you remember in the scripture, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, around the 42nd, 43rd verse, it says, "When an unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he seeketh rest and findeth none. He walketh in dry places, and he seeks rest, walker, he finds no rest." That's because he's in torment. But then he saith, "I will go back." He goes out of a man, and it says, "I will go back to the house from whence I came out." And he takes seven more wicked than himself, if you let him back in. But the whole point here is what's his house? What's his house? The man, it said. You say, well, wait a minute. Are you telling me that devils could inhabit a person? Yeah. What keeps them out, Edith? Jesus. What keeps them out of your house? What keeps them out of the person? Jesus. A heart full of faith. See, when that house was empty, swept, and garnished, he says, "I'll go back because it's empty." What do you want to fill it up with, Carrie? Substance and evidence of things not seen. Faith. Fill it up with faith, and there's no room for any devil. How does that sound? Pretty good stuff. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. His power is not that he could take your life here, but it's over the carnal mind. Can he persuade the way you think? Ooh. How many of you, since we taught on the servant of the Lord must not strive, how many have had issues and situations in your life? You're like, I failed. I'm striving. I'm arguing with people. You know why that is? Because you're trying to fix the outside, and the strife is actually in your heart. You got to fix it in here first. Remember, Jesus said the Pharisees, they make clean the outside. You got to make clean the inside. Isn't that true, Daryl? Works deep down in your heart and your thought and in your mind. Go with me to Romans. I'm not going to go much longer today. What I'd like to do is spend some time in this talking about the carnal mind, teaching, revealing that to you. Then we'll jump over, we're done there, to that spiritual mind and start revealing that. Now, I said about four or five things. What else works in the carnal mind, Walker? You got all 17 of them? Now, just before this, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Oh, after it. Okay, thank you. Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, goodness, temperance, long-suffering, and faith. Nine of them. Let's hear those 17 and read the whole scripture.
It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So I said the source of our struggles. Is this the mind the source of those manifestations? It sure is. You say, well, I don't deal with any of those whatsoever. Oh, there's more. There's more. Anybody ever deal with depression? Anxiety? Well, those words aren't in the Bible, Brian. I'll promise you they come from the carnal mind. Daryl?
It said
such like. Such like. There you go. Good catch, Daryl. And such like. So what do you think about my friend, you guys? He's in the hospital right now. What do you think? If you were the pastor, I don't know who to call. What's this young man's name right here?
Lane.
Lane? If you were me, you got that phone call. Did you hear everything I said today?
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to die. He wants to know if he could take his .38 revolver and stick it in his mouth and blow his brains out. You're the pastor. How would you counsel this young man? Well, he's my age. I know, huh? Did you hear what he said? I don't know. Because intent, remember? Zach, do we want to see him suffer? I'll never forget. See, I'm a hunter. And we harvest, Mike and I have been hunting many times together, Jim, Walker, Keith, a bunch of you. We harvest and eat everything we kill, right, Mike? If we can, unless something happens. But I'll never forget the first time my wife, I talked to her about compassion and mercy. I don't know if you're, let's see how well you kids do at this. You ever been dove hunting? The bird's just wounded his wing. He's going to die. What do you do? Pull his head off. Flip it offside. Some people are like, what? Madison, remember the little girls that mouse got stuck on the trap? Zach, I was raised in the country, you know? I'm gonna traumatize her. I was raised in the country. Hunted birds every single day. Fed the cats with my BB gun. You know, you have mice, you have rats, field rats, and this and that. Well, we had some mice at our house here, at the house we're at. And they're screaming outside, get it, get it. It was a sticky trap. What is it? The mouse is stuck. He's going to get away. I run to the junk drawer. I grab the biggest knife I could. I run out there. I look up and them kids are, ah! Zach, they freaked out. The one little girl never came back to my house again. She thought I was an axe murderer. My daughter freaked out on me, chewed me out. My wife chewed me out.
Oh,
well, I said the biggest knife I could find, didn't I? That sword's still in my grill out there in case another one comes back. But here was the point I was saying all of it. Isn't intent? What am I out there? Am I tormenting animals or am I trying to keep the rodents away from my, and make sure my daughter doesn't get bit and get bubonic plague and all? Do you see there where intent comes in? But I'll tell you what else it did, Mike. My wife, Christy, bless her heart, she tells me, because I told her, the rat, it's going to die anyways. I'm putting it out of its misery, you know? She said, well, listen, if I ever get sick, dude, do not come to my room. She said, if I'm on my deathbed, I don't want you anywhere near. She said, could you, would you do that to me? I said, listen, baby, I love you, and I'd never let you suffer. Again, do not come to my room. Let's just read a little bit, and we'll be done here. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse. Paul said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So let's get this straight right now. Every single person in this room is in the flesh. We have flesh. Okay? We're in the flesh. But what you're getting ready to read is, just because you're in the flesh, you don't have to walk after the flesh. You can walk after the Spirit. Daryl, when you walk after the Spirit, the carnal mind has no more power. If the carnal mind has no more power, then the devil has no more power. You're free. If you know the truth will make you free. And you say, well, I don't feel like the devil has much power in my life. Well, you keep my phone number, because the day that you realize how much he does have in that carnal mind, you're going to want to give me a call, okay? And we'll help you out. Because some people's life, and Jennifer said it, and so true, life is great. It's great on the mountaintop. It's great in the pit. Huh? It's great in the valley of decision. It's great everywhere if you can walk in the Spirit. How important is it to walk in the Spirit? We're talking about death, and you talk about physical death. How many of you have ever had somebody physically die and just absolutely break your heart? Yep. Me too. But do you know that walking in the Spirit and having a spiritual mind, it doesn't keep them from dying, Cindy. We're all going to die. But you know what it does for you in order to handle these things and deal with it and have the life and peace to go through things of this life? I'm going to tell you what. You get put in the right situation, and you will give anything and everything for peace. I promise you, because I've been there and I've done that. And I would have given everything I had, Mike, all the money in the world, to have peace. And I couldn't find anybody that would sell it to me. But you know what I did find, Zach? I found a man named Jesus that gave it to me freely. And I hadn't had it before that. I mean, I had fun in my life, let me tell you. We had some fun. Fighting. Hunting. All kinds of stuff we called fun. Wrestling. Where was we? Oh, the peace. How important is it? I'm going to tell you. Well, what do you think the most precious commodity on this earth is right now? Is it gold? Is it silver? What is it? Your house? Your car? Peace? Let's just say for the physical body, what's the most precious commodity? You can go, what, 3, 4, 5 days without water? I'll go get you, Tristan, I'll hold the water from you while you hold your breath. And then you come back and tell me what the most precious commodity is. Now think about that. Seriously, I'm not trying to be a bummer. I'm not trying to make things dark and gloomy. Every single one of us are one breath away. One breath. Mike, isn't it amazing how God put this together? Your body, one breath. But he keeps you going, and he keeps you breathing. Now, my friend's having some trouble breathing. I'm going to ask all of you here today to pray for him, okay? He says he's got peace. He ain't worried about dying. I mean, the guy's ready to stick a pistol in his mouth. I'm going to tell him, let's not do that. let's go the right way. You know, they got a thing called human euthanization. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to say hospice, right? Hospice is human euthanization. Now, some hospice can go on for years, but when you're bad, like my Uncle Jim was with lung cancer, they snowed him and smoked him in just a couple hours. Done. I've been there and watched things like that happen. There's a mercy side. There's a kindness to it. But this young man has lived almost 60 years. And I think the best thing he would do is to go the right way out and not take his own life. You guys pray for him, okay? We'll come back next week. We're just barely getting started in this. A lot of stuff I said to you today was not planned whatsoever, so whoever it was for, please take it to heart. Think about it very seriously. You know, death is seldom easy to deal with, but if you have peace and you can walk in a spiritual mind and you have a hope of the resurrection, it can change everything.
So you started off talking about being in the carnal mind here, but yet you can be in the Spirit here.
We're going to read. I stop. Yeah.
You've taught before about your sins going before you, and then your sins following after you.
All right.
Is that related?
In judgment.
Yes.
Yep. You want to handle them now. You don't want some train of sin following you to heaven. You want to leave that behind you. As a matter of fact, since you said that, let me just finish what I was going to say to you guys. Can go home thinking about this. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. This is where we want to start next week. That word enmity, do you know what it means? Opposition, hatred. It's an opposing hatred. Now, the devil has a name that comes along these lines too. It's called Antichrist. Anti means against. So he is against Christ. What is the carnal mind? It's an enmity. It's opposing hatred. Can you see why when the two get together, Daryl? Because I think you figured this out here today. We're flesh and blood, but that carnal mind is his mind. And when you're in it, that's where he has power. Here's some good news. Watch, let me finish this out. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, opposing hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wait a minute. If I stop there, we're all in the flesh, right? You got to keep reading. Watch this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. How do you get the Spirit of God, folks? You have to believe. Simple, simple criteria, Nathan. You have to believe. God's done all the other work. You believe, God comes and dwells in you, then he begins to teach you how to come out of the carnal mind, walk in the spiritual mind. There's no condemnation there, right, Julie? There's peace. There's joy. Are you going to have stuff? Are people going to die? Are we going to go through issues? Are we going to have tribulation? Absolutely. But I'll promise you, you're going to want to go through it in the spiritual mind over the carnal mind. Because that carnal mind will torment you to death. God bless you. Appreciate all of you. Remember the Bible studies this week, okay?